Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. And this particular episode on the podcast feed is the Clone Wars Report.
Dateline, whenever the galaxy has existed, this is Clone Wars.
Excellent. We're getting into like news journalism at this point. We've gone from just quick broadcast to now three different segments on the state of the galaxy with some insightful interviews and investigative reporting.
This is next we'll do Brokaw, Cronkite, Peter Jennings, all of them will show up at some point.
And when you run their names all together, they sound like one great Star Wars character, don't they? Brokaw Cronkite.
Which is exactly right. A Hall of News mainstay,
Brokaw Cronkite. That doesn't even sound right when I say it out loud. And yet, Cronkite. There we go. I said it right. Now we're going to move on to Star Wars, the thing we should be talking about. We're always delighted to talk about the Clone Wars, and we're excited to talk about this episode. I am Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is
Cat Knapsack, happy to be here with all the old news references.
That's right, kids. Google the old news. We are having a blast talking about the Clone Wars in chronological order. This episode, we are up to season one, episode 8, entitled Bomb Bad Jedi. Here is the quick summary. The Rodian senator, Anaconda Farr, lures his old friend Padme Amidala to Rodia as part of his choice to join the Separatists. 3PO and Jar Jar realize Padme's been taken captive, and Jar Jar bravely attempts to rescue Padme and inadvertently pretends to be a Jedi while wearing Padme's secret husband's clothes. Adventure, comedy, and life lessons ensue.
That is, I mean, that's a juicy episode. That's a lot going on.
There really is a lot going on, and that's what I continue to enjoy about this rewatch of you kind of remember these episodes for like one or two specific big, shiny, loud things, and then you get into it and like, oh, wait, there is a lot going on. Mm-hmm. But as always, the Clone Wars episodes begin with the moral, and the moral of this episode are heroes are made by the times. Ken, what do you make of that moral? Do you like this one? Does it resonate with you?
It does. Yeah, it does. It does. I don't know where to go with that right away. We'll dive into it. But this episode, when we started doing this, this was one of the first episodes. I was like, I can't wait to see what happens to me when I rewatch this episode. And the moral pops up and I was like, oh, I already just have a bunch of different meanings in my head about that. And it got me started off right for this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Did your mind go to the sort of larger interpretations of that, of like heroes are made by the times has some, it's like a positive version of the, you know, may you live in interesting times as an alleged curse, right? That heroes are made by the times could be like, look, I was just about to start. I got my law degree and I was just about to start my law profession and start my family. And oh, World War II, heroes are made by the times. Like there's that interpretation of it.
Yep.
And there's that just sort of like moment by moment, like you find yourself in a crisis, like, you know, at a mall or whatever, as you yourself have found yourself in a crisis at a mall as for somebody who worked security. Did you absorb it as like kind of that big picture? You're caught up into global events, or that smaller, just like something happens around you and there's a moment where you have to make a choice?
A, B, and C, all of the above, whatever you want to say to give the answer. Now, this is great because Jar Jar is in some times that are pretty bad overall. And on this micro level, it goes to this idea that, to me, I'll say, a hero is not a title that is given, it is earned. And you can also lose that title, by the way, I think. Not a matter of what have you done for me lately, but you can make choices later on that can counteract, not take away your efforts in the past, but can undercut them, undermine them. Maybe different conversations, but there is a version of what a hero is, and it's probably a, you know, understandable, correct version, but then it doesn't matter to me. It's what you do in the moment and what you do when called. And that's why it is your actions earn you that title. It's up to you to keep it. And Jar Jar is an example of that here. Looked down upon, not just by a fandom, but even in story. We always say in story, Palpatine's got some great, like, okay, moments up top, and to rise to the occasion and to make the choices that Jar Jar does. And yeah, no, sometimes Jar Jar, his actions aren't from his choices. They're from his foibles, but that's okay too. You're there. It is all that. Again, with the big picture and acting. To me, the acting for the good of others is something we all can do, is something there as well. So anyways, that's kind of the starting point for me.
Awesome. Yeah, I really like this one. I think this was one of those morals that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a great thing to keep in mind for life. And it works really well in Star Wars, works with this episode. I think it sometimes the moral of the episode is really intimately tied to like what is actually at stake in the episode. And I thought this was one of those times where it really resonates with that idea. We all always have a choice, from the big to the small. From the Jar Jar to the Anaconda Far, Fate of Rhodia, that you always have a choice. And sometimes you're presented with these moments where you're not proactively out trying to go out and be like, what am I going to be today? I'm going to be a hero. It's just something lands in front of you and you have the choice to handle it, you know, one way or another, even when you would much rather not have to do anything.
Yeah.
But you have to respond to the times that you're living in, either in the big picture or right in the moment. And I think it's just also, for me, heroes are made by the times also has some great rhythm to one of the things I really like to think about in Jedi philosophy of, I think ideally Jedi don't want to be proactive. They want to be, you know, the shield.
Yeah.
Which means it only raises when there's a problem, you know.
Yeah.
They go when they happen, like even Ahsoka's like kind of I think meant to be in the story of Clone Wars a little bit more pure idea of the Jedi, of her statement of like, when I'm going along in life and I encounter someone who needs help, I help them. Which is just really interesting to me to think about for the Jedi, that difference between we're going to go out into the galaxy and we're going to look for things that are wrong, and we're going to insert ourselves in the situation and fix them, versus, hey, if we happen to come across something, you know, we should make ourselves heroes when we encounter those times.
Yeah. Yeah. And it all falls on Jar Jar's shoulders.
And Jar Jar is the Jedi of this episode. Yeah, so let's get into that.
I lost my thought for a second because I was listening to you talk, and then what I said, I'm just like, and this is a Jar Jar episode.
Right? But it does a little bit, because it is so, I mean, it's got Jedi right in the title. You know, I'm not reaching too deep to connect it back to the Jedi. I often reach deep to connect it back to Jedi, but it's right in the title of this episode. But let's get into the episode itself. What was your overall reaction? Did you love it? Did you like it? Was this one of those episodes that you kind of half remembered and had a little bit of dread as it approached?
I mean, I'll say this. I really like it. I really like it. I'll fall short of saying I love this episode, but I really like it. And again, when we started this, when you and I were talking about doing this, and you kind of said, what if we just, hey, what if we weekly go into arcs? And okay, this is great. And I thought to myself, oh, Bombad Jedi. Yeah, I haven't seen that in 7 years. it's not on my rewatch list. Why? Well, it's Jar Jar. And, you know, we've said a lot of positive things about Jar Jar on this channel. We love Ahmed Best. We love what the character can bring, and the story, and where it went, and the epilogue of Jar Jar Binks is one of my favorite things. I almost said Jar Jar Best, and that would have worked too. but I was like, of all the episodes of Clone Wars, of all the arcs, of all the titles, all the episodes, I remember this title perhaps more than any of them. Bombad Jedi. So that can be good, that can be bad. I was so interested to look at this, go into it. And there it is. Layered into this is some wonderful politics of the galaxy conversation. We'll talk about stakes and big themes tied to that. And some good Jar Jar humor. There's some Jar Jar humor. There's some great 3PO humor we'll talk about.
Yes.
But I was in here, and again, sign of the times, maturing as a fan, things are, I don't know. But also, as I'm watching this, Joseph, I'd love to get your take on this. This, whether you're watching it chronologically or release order, this is very early in the series. And for George Lucas and team to be like, you know what we're going to give them? We're going to give them the thing that they struggled with the most in this series. We got the Roger Roger of it all, and we got Jar Jar Binks, and we're giving it to them. I kind of love that about George.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is some stuff early in the Clone Wars that does feel like it is being responsive to the reception of the prequels. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think my mind is on this because, you know, we've recently seen some of those interviews with Lucas from old Star Wars celebrations, where he was saying, like, I made the prequels because I thought the story of who Vader was clear, but it wasn't, so I wanted to go back and make it more clear. So I think I have that in my mind as I'm watching this, and there's so much in these early episodes of like, hey, remember, there's a bunch of moral questions about these who these clones are. That's really interesting. Hey, there's a bunch of moral questions about, you know, the separatists think, many people involved think that they're doing something right, but hey, remember, they're being manipulated. Hey, and remember how you hated Jar Jar? People inside the galaxy also look down on him, but should they? And like really wrestling with it, it really feels like Lucas going, here's the stuff that you didn't get from my prequels.
Mm-hmm. I like that you framed it that way too, of just really, that's putting a finer point on it, of not just going, I'm giving you Jar Jar, deal with it, but going just what you said. I know you don't like it, but is that right? Let me ask you that question.
Yeah.
Let me put it before you. Still might not like it. Still might not be your favorite thing. That's part of the reason I like, not love this episode. But yeah, you look at it and you go, yeah, there you go. There's some value there. The value to the storytelling of the character. It works. And so, yep, kudos to the man in flannel.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody else involved who was or was not wearing flannel, I don't know. Yeah, for me, I'm the same of like, it's not quite a love, but I really, really like this episode. I think I randomly rewatched it when we were doing the first episodes of this podcast, Clone Wars Report, and we were doing a Padme episode. I wanted to kind of refresh on her whole relationship with Anaconda Farr and the actual politics behind all that. And I remember being really struck, and it's really changed my thinking about Jar Jar to see, as you were alluding to, all these early scenes where the entire galaxy kind of looks down on him. Padme, you know, that's one of the least great things that Padme ever does, to go, Jar Jar, why don't you stay on the ship? C-3PO needs your help. Like, that's not normally Padme. She normally does not, you know, think less of someone. She normally does not, you know, bend the rules and fib to someone. So I remembered thinking about that. It really sets it up is let's wrestle with who Jar Jar is in galaxy. And do they treat him in galaxy the way we've treated him in the real world? Yeah. So I was looking forward to rewatching it. The things that I really like about this episode is I'm sure we're going to talk about it in more detail. The fact that it is motivated by the really complex political reality of the Clone Wars, of why a system that should be concerned about the truth of the separatists would choose to join the separatist. I love that we see so much besides that one moment of Padme's ongoing wisdom and resourcefulness. And the biggest thing for me that I really like in this episode that I think really sets it apart is it uses a lot of the style of humor from the prequel trilogy all to make a point. Like, none of it's to the side. Like, we've got wacky physical C-3PO comedy. We have some creatures, according to the subtitles, roaring and farting. Yeah. And, you know, we have a ton of Jar Jar slapstick. But sometimes in the movies or even in earlier episodes of the Clone Wars, that stuff is just kind of to the side as a compliment to the rest of the episode. And the comedy, even the big wacky comedy, is used for the storytelling. It's used for the themes. The comedy itself is sort of is being used to examine the truth of this character and the truth of these situations, and that makes it really refreshing and interesting.
Taking it's he got all the great ingredients and just make it into a meal that you didn't expect. Sorry, I'm speaking a weird bumper sticker kind of.
Make a meal you didn't expect.
Yeah, it's also the week you and I are having, but. We should, you know, Kevin Rubio, who wrote Troops, is known for Troops and has done a bunch of other things, Tagan Bink, the comics. He's the primary writer on this episode, at least, you know, wrote a lot of the main, you know, beats, it would seem. Henry Gilroy and another rock. I didn't write it down.
Stephen Melching.
There you go. And those are two Clone War mainstays, probably layered in a lot more of the serious stuff. But I thought that was a good marriage. It was a good marriage. And to take someone who could just use kind of the comedy that's present, whether you love it or not, to use it and to tell the bigger, more important story in, like you said, that prequel era ingredients. That's all.
Yeah, no, I think clearly there is a different presence, and that must be Kevin Rubio, because the comedy stuff is really, really great. It's all there to wrestle with the character of Jar Jar, not just, you know, wacky stuff happening on the side. Let's talk about the big themes for you when you're watching this episode. What ideas are at stake?
Here's, I'll go, it ties it a little bit to what we talked about, the moral. So sorry if some of this is a repeat, but it goes... I can pull it into bigger stuff. Acting for the good of others is something we all can do, right? So I focused on that because Palpatine... And it's funny, and it's low-key kind of funny, by the way. I just suddenly found myself defending Sheev. That's not a good thing. Palpatine says, may I recommend that only those that are qualified for these delicate peace talks participate in them? Now, that's something I do agree with overall, just strategy of who's best for what. You know, you don't want to send a bruiser when you need a ballerina. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. That's just a good way to manage. But the way it's said, it is an insult to Jar Jar, right? It's a truth maybe, but it's an insult. Make sure he's not involved, because they want to send Padme with a clone commander or a clone squadron. Dangerous times. And she's basically like, I got my gun, I got my droid. Sheev's not wrong to say that, but it's an insult, and that's wrong to just cut anyone out when all of us have an opportunity to do something good when called upon, or when the times call us to it. All of us have something to give to the greater good, and we don't like to feel like we're cut out of it. That's not fair. It's just not fair. It's not fair to Jar Jar. And we know where his life and career might go. But so in this moment, that's a big theme for me. We all can do it. We all have something to offer. And it's not fair to just cut people out. Give them a shot. Yes, move the right chess pieces under the board in the right way. Put the right starting lineup out there. Totally get that. I am that guy. I'm a baseball coach at heart. I get it. But finding strengths and letting people try something new and let them contribute and find out what they can give. You might be surprised. That was a big theme for me.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think it is incredibly well set up. It is that was a power I found rewatching it and having forgot that moment of like, oh, yeah, no, that's Sheev Palpatine. That's Darth Sidious. And even Palpatine is taking the time to go, yeah, he can't even walk across the just cabin of this starship without almost killing everyone. Maybe not bring him. And it's accompanied with this brutal and sad Padme side eye, and she's like, "Yeah,
yeah." And I get it. Sorry. We rarely step on each other.
No, it's fine.
In the media, go ahead. I apologize. Do you think years after this, maybe 5 years before the Battle of Yavin or during that era, do you think Palpatine's up there in his chambers, Vader's standing by there? There's just silence, and all of a sudden, Palpatine's like, "Never happened to that Jar Jar." I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he thinks through all the chess pieces, right? And I mean, he has to, because he successfully, like, Jar Jar was the easiest chess piece he ever moved, right? It was like one quick little manipulation in office. I mean, he's certainly like, but I think that the way Palpatine thinks of, even when he looks, like, if Palpatine got the full report, you know, from Newt Gunray through, Darth Tyrannus or whatever, of the episode we watched, I don't think Palpatine would take away the same lessons, because I think he just doesn't believe. Like, the great inclusive baseball coach speech that you just gave of, you know, everybody deserves a shot, I just don't think Palpatine believes that. So I think he would see this episode and have to reinterpret it and go, "No, it was just dumb. It was dumb luck. Or is that damn Padme is resourceful, or Anaconda Far is, you know, stronger than I thought." He would not ever look at it and go, "It was the good, pure, kind heart of this idiot that saved everybody."
Right. And look, hey, if a Gungan trips in the woods, does it help or not? It helps. It helps. All right.
It helps. He puts the fire out, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't put that bumper sticker on your car.
I think for me, the obviously this is explicitly a story about Jar Jar being brave and resilient and that making a difference. But the way I like that this was framed, starting with, you know, the main characters of the galaxy worrying about him, it took his slapstick and was one of the times that really underlined it and said, "Yeah, he's dangerous." Literally to your life. Like, that this level of klutzy and this level of, you know, always just kind of barging forward, being friendly and weird and knocking things over, is literally dangerous. So it sets up this question of, is Jar Jar Binks a dangerous menace or a brave hero? That even kind of gets restated at the end when Anaconda Far is like, "I don't know if you're the bravest or most foolish Jedi I've ever met." But just to illustrate some of that, early in the episode, you know, he trips and the ship, you know, goes spiraling out of control. He almost gets 3PO crushed by that magnet. He does crush the ship. It's like physically, actually extremely dangerous. He's kind of trying to stop the battle droids, but he does also smash them. So it really is like the, hey, if you're alone in a room with Jar Jar, even though he means well, he might accidentally decapitate you somehow. It's actually frightening, right? And that's such a great contrast between where he goes of, like, he's not super thinking, super planning. He's not being cunning. It's just this utter spirit of friendliness, openness. Hey, everybody else hears these swamp creatures as monsters, but I like swamp creatures. I'll try to talk to them. You know, Padme, the royalty is locked up there far away in the tower. I'll go try to save her. He doesn't even think of actually becoming a Jedi or trying to pretend to be a Jedi. He just wants to disguise himself. So he puts on the cloak and he's like, "Oh no, they think I'm a Jedi." Like,
yeah.
The fact that it's not cunning, right? That it is just utter purity of heart. Bravery and selflessness and pushing past. We see he has fear, but he pushes past it to just kind of blindly, fumblingly do what is right. And that fact that they don't shy away in the wacky comedy of, does make him dangerous, but ultimately it makes him really kind and potentially valuable, because he does make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. The pure heart angle. It's really good and ties into even some of my favorite moments we'll talk about with Jar Jar early on in this episode too. So yeah, pure heart, man. That is a trait. That is a skill you bring to the table.
pure of the heart. Just, you know, every day, just go underwater and kiss the sea monster, and you never know what might happen. The other big theme for me, that, and we kind of mentioned it briefly with the moral itself, but just this idea of choice, it's, you know, stated really explicitly, but I really like that it is framed in both the political and personal, because the big machinery of the episode is Anaconda Farr's decision to join with the separatists. And it seems like on one hand, he does have some extremely valid concerns, some extremely valid reasons to join the separatists. But he also knows in his heart of hearts that they're not to be trusted. And there's this strong implication that he joined the separatists out of fear. And we even get that direct conversation between Padme and Ono about it, of saying, you know, I had no choice. And, you know, she said, you always have a choice, which is a pretty standard heroic in Star Wars thing to say. But then specifically followed it up with the line, to live in fear is no life at all. Which is extra powerful, because it goes to this theme of choice on this sort of large political scale of we're very familiar with the idea of fear in Star Wars, of, you know, fear of loss leading you to make bad choices, leading you to make, you know, selfish choices. But here's this, I am afraid for my entire planet. And Padme introducing this idea that you've got valid concerns, but you gave in to your fear about those concerns and made a choice that was only going to make it worse for you, was a really interesting expression of this concern about fear in Star Wars, because it was so, it's literally global for Rhodia.
Yeah.
And then it even ties back to kind of Padme's path of wisdom through the whole prequel trilogy of, you know, when Liberty dies to thunderous applause, that's because people are giving into fear, right? They're saying, sure, it's great that you're emperor, because we're tired of this war. We're afraid of the separatists. We don't want to live in fear anymore. So sure, take our government.
Yeah. This is, so I put some notes down. I'm glad you brought this up. This is so well stated. Just, there's this, I called it like a double-edged theme, but like, it's really, it's along the same path of what you're talking about with Favre, just fear, great way. And that Star Wars fear, that Yoda's quote, I've seen misused a lot. You fear, there's a lot of different kind of fears, and I love the one you're describing, but to me, I love having those discussions about politics and Star Wars and those little gray areas and the Mita Bon Terris of the separatist movement. We always talk about her and some of the truths and maybe things that should have been listened to, but it goes back to something that you had said one time, just like, you know, we say there's no wrong way to watch Star Wars, and you put out there like, well, unless you're rooting for Palpatine, might be, I'd submit potentially wrong. I think that's part of the lesson of Star Wars. That's part of light side, dark side. There is no gray Jedi. Those things we talk about here is in this episode. And Farr's got some concerns, but out of fear, he goes against his core principles for short-term gain, is what I wrote. And that doesn't end well. And that is a giant Star Wars lesson, but now here it is in politics, or a senator being rightfully concerned. And then the flip side of that is it's Padme realizing, well, the Republic is, if we don't remember the plights of all, that's going to weaken the bigger cause. If we don't, you know, maybe I'll rephrase it as, we don't remember the plights of some, all will be weakened. Maybe that's my bumper sticker version. And I just, so I love that there's all of that's at play for me. And then we talk about stakes. What's at stake in this episode is maybe Padme has this realization. There's some cool stuff coming on. She's got some great action coming up, but as a senator, someone in this movement, as someone who does say, have you ever thought we're on the wrong side? It's little things like this. And has the Republic also sacrificed some core principles for short-term gain? Not always out of ill will or intentional, just that's things you have to consider. So anyways, I like that, because it isn't just about Farr. You could stop at, Rhodia, you know, saying, hey, we got some valid concerns, and that's the end of the conversation. But no, they take those valid concerns, turn it into fear, and sacrifice those core principles for short-term gain. And Star Wars will always tell you, no good.
Yeah. And I think for me, that was, like I said, probably one of my very favorite episodes or things about this episode, and how it relates to kind of like the bigger themes and mythology of Star Wars and just the story of this era. Because, you know, we have lots of discussions. We get great questions about who is right in which situation and who is wrong and what are other ways to look at it. And one of the things I've been most excited to talk about in Clone Wars is you watch an episode like this and you're like, ah, it's the one where we go to Rodia and Jar Jar pretends to be a Jedi, because that is the meat of the action. But yeah, it's often like the Tom Kane yells big political ideas at you. It's the first 5 minutes. It's whatever Padme's perspective is. It's just like explicitly, this episode is just explicitly a bunch of answers to what is really going on in the Clone Wars era that just walks you through it. Of Rodia is on the Outer Rim. The Senate is either stagnated from just sort of years of sort of just becoming a dysfunctional body, or how much of that is Palpatine is actually making them dysfunctional. We don't really know that part of it, but we know, yeah, the Republic isn't functioning. The Outer Rim is not, or Rodia is not seen as powerful. They are in actual jeopardy that pirates are taking their food. And the Republic is gonna send some food supplies eventually. And Padme, you know, our hero, knows this is wrong. So she goes out there without troops. And what do you know? She finds out that, you know, Anakin Farr is in this difficult position where he has every reason to doubt and question the Republic.
Yeah.
So he'll say, you know, this goes to the whole, you know, why does the crawl of Revenge of the Sith say they're heroes on both sides? Mm. He's absolutely right. Rodia's in the Republic. They're starving. They need help. The Republic should be there. So totally valid to go, maybe I don't want to be with the Republic anymore. Mm. Maybe I want to consider another political option. But then the other truth of the story comes in is the Separatists sell themselves as a viable political option in contrast to the legitimate failures of the Republic. And the problem with that is the Separatists are led by evil wizards. Yes. And Newt Gungray, who we'll talk about, who seems to be in the Separatist movement simply to kill Padme. That seems to be his main motivation. We know he's greedy. We know he was promised peace. But what he wants more than anything is to kill that queen that didn't let him invade her planet 10 years ago. You know, so just... And that's what this episode is about, of just, I know I'm going on, I'm real passionate about this, but just to put it real simply, I like that it walks through the complexity of, yep, the Republic is really failing. The Separatists do seem like a legitimate option. They're not, because they're a lie. They're a manipulation of truly evil, greedy, hateful people.
Yeah, by the way, I'm also picturing Newt Gungray on his orientation day in the Separatists. Here's your packet. Where do we go to kill the queen? Where do we go to kill Padme? Sir, no, you must sign up that, that's a, you know. Yeah, no, and to put it in simpler terms, we always make those jokes about the necessary rage stuff around these parts and why we didn't like the Duel of Fates, the heart of the Duel of Fates script, or the conclusion it comes to. It's that thing. I want Star Wars, and this is Star Wars. I'm not talking about any other property or fandom. I want Star Wars to ask those questions. Should you touch the dark side to help the light win? Should you go this way to look at? I want those questions, but I always want the answer to come back to the answer being the light side, going towards the light, and finding ways to get there, as complicated as they may be. And I love that. And that was the biggest takeaway from this episode too, Joseph. Just like, oh yeah, like you kind of said, buried in the bumbling of it all is a pretty straightforward, powerful message.
Yeah, yeah. You know, be brave, follow your heart. Don't make deals with really angry, greedy, murderous people, because they'll turn on you immediately, as they do. I really like that there is that moment that just sells it, of like Anakin Farr kind of being like, yeah, I know, but my people were starving. I know it's bad to turn you over. Oh, they're going to lock you up. Oh, they want to assassinate you. Oh, they're already giving us orders. Oh, boy, I made a mistake. Like, there's no ambiguity that he made a mistake. Yeah. And then it ends with that great line of Padme saying, you know, I think in reference to both Jar Jar and to Rodia, of, you know, we make the mistake of thinking our most powerful allies are the ones that matter the most. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, but everybody matters, kind of thing. What other kind of big picture connections to the larger story or morality of Star Wars did you get from this episode?
Final one for me is Jar Jar receives the help he needs by valuing a creature feared and overlooked. And we've seen that before. We've talked a lot about how you and I love Leia sees Wicket as a potential ally and how that comes back to help and pay off. So there's a little bit of that there. But in keeping with Jar Jar, Jar Jar doesn't say, oh, let's get the slug monster to help us. He's just like, oh, look at this. I bet there's some friends out there. Does a dance, nothing. It comes back to help him. It goes to what you said, the pure of heart. It's just kind of building on that. I loved that moment early on. And it was probably something years ago. I'd be like, dear God, we got a Jar Jar weird noise dance sequence going on. And I'm not in that headspace anymore. You listening might be in that headspace still. I feel you. I hear you. I understand you. But I love the moment. And just, again, going to Jar Jar and you kind of, you open up your heart. You get the love you need.
That's right. You get a new friend named Bogey, who is apparently a Quazzlemaw based on a design from Ralph McQuarrie for A Beast on Dagobah, but gets to have his day in the Rodian sun in this episode. Yeah, same thing for me. And I think that absolutely that everyone matters theme and how often that plays out in Star Wars, that you reach out to help someone and they help you back. And that's what wins the day. All great stuff. I also just like the another picture of organic versus technical, and the, you know, Bogey the Quazzlemaw just, you know, defeating the rocket from the battle droids and then just smashing all of the of Nuke Gunray's technology is also like pretty clear organic versus tech there.
Absolutely.
So that is it. A look at some of the big picture ideas. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to dive into some of our favorite action moments, comedy moments, connections to other canon, and all that great Star Wars stuff. We'll be back in a moment.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out.
And we are back to continue our conversation about the Clone Wars episode, Bomb Bad Jedi. I didn't need to repeat the title, I just wanted to, because it's such a fun title to say. Bomb Bad Jedi. Ken, let's talk about the action in Bomb Bad Jedi. Did you have a favorite action moment?
Yes, I did. I had a favorite action sequence, and I had a favorite moment, all right? I'll start with the moment. The depth charges going underwater, the bombs, basically, the little detonators. And there was this beauty in the chaos picture, Jar Jar in the middle, underwater, air bubbles, bloop, 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 and just those detonators, the bombs floating down. It was beautiful. It was an art piece I'd hang on my wall. Jar Jar and the bombs. I don't know why. I just love little things like that. Attack of the Clones is a lot of, in the Battle of Geonosis, just some, wow, the beauty of horrible war. And even Last Jedi has a lot of that too. And this was just one of the weird little moments. I just really like that. I don't know if I'm wrong for that, Joseph, but I liked it.
No, I don't think so. I think that's, you know, a part of the fun of Star Wars. It's definitely a part of Clone Wars, which is why we always celebrate the action moments of, like, there are those moments that are like, well, that's awful, but beautiful. And you're right. There is something about, like, oh, what are all these beautiful art objects? These little orbs floating beautifully under. Oh, lots and lots of bombs. Yeah, I remember really being hit by that. Of like, that's excessive. They are really concerned about this Bomb Bad Jedi. Yeah. So yeah, I love that one. And what's your other one?
The sequence I like is Padme. Man, she knows how to get out of things. Man, she knows how to get out of things. We've seen this time and time again. We see where she maybe learned some of this in Queen's Peril and whatnot. So I liked her escape. I like the fake conversation with the Jedi. Almost very Ocean's 11, George Clooney pretending, well, not pretending, but getting beat up for the trick. And then just knowing how to get out, man, and knowing where we're on a blaster. That's where Leia probably has some inherent skills there. Midichlorians not even needed for that for Leia and Padme. So I just liked that whole sequence. It was fun.
Yeah. I really liked her escape. You know, in her escape, there's some great stuff in it. Like, you know, really, Nuke Gunray, by now, you should be able to say, like, take her bracelets and her belt away because she always has lock picking devices.
Yeah.
But I liked her escape. I like it. It's really fun after reading Queen's Peril, Queen's Shadow, those big, you know, kicks to the battle droids' heads are like, yep, she learned that from Panaka and trained with all the handmaidens. It's all great. But the moment that I really liked is her strange parkour leap off the wall to get some height when she blasted the two battle droids that were guarding 3PO.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was really great and really cool. And this great, it's just such a great balance in the action where, you know, a lot of the, what I would say is action is, you know, Jar Jar trying and failing, you know, falling mm-hmm. from great heights and, you know, bungee cord on a jump on a vine and things like that. And contrasted with Padme's, like, you know, doing a pretty good job saving herself as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see like that parkour leap in contrast to Jar Jar's bumbling was really cool. This may be stretching the definition of an action beat, but I also just really like the sequence with the with Jar Jar finally coming face to face with a Bogey, the Quazzleman, being mm-hmm. terrified, and that, well, actually just the whole this whole swimming away from the rocket leading up to that, and then the explosion. And then the burp shot is
yes,
a great moment of action when the sea monster burped out Jar Jar Binks. That was one of my favorite action sequences. As well as just the smashing all the droids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's just something cathartic about that after the whole episode of, like, you know, Padme's fighting her best, but she's outnumbered, and 3PO is trying to do what he does best, communicate, and the Jar Jar's bumbling around trying to do his best, and then there's something cathartic about the Quazzlemaw's just like, let me take care of this, smash, 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 smash.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bogey. Let's move on to the comedy. This is one of those episodes of Clone Wars where there might be more moments of comedy and whimsy and weirdness than there are of action. So I think you and I are probably going to a similar place here with some really, really great 3PO comedy, right?
Yeah, overall, just this was some damn good 3PO stuff. I think 3PO humor can be done real, real right. I think it can be done real bad. I still think Attack of the Clones is kind of just the lowest of the low for me and a lot of 3PO humor. We did that big discussion already. That's a me thing. But there's a lot of it. But the one moment I wrote down was, God, now I even forget exactly what he does. But then he says, I think that was rather clever.
Oh, yeah. He tells him that the Jedi was going the other way.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Which, like, connects, of course, to like A New Hope when he's like, I think they're on this level or whatever.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So, yeah, we can start about 3PO. Just that was line. It's just it's great comedy of character. It's 3PO being out of, you know, fish out of water, you know, proper in an improper world. All those kind of things can come into play when it's done right. It really works for me. And Anthony Daniels, whenever he's delivering the voice and everything, he knows the character well. That's why he is 3PO.
He does know the character well, and I think there are appearances of 3PO where it can kind of just fall into the rhythm of, oh, 3PO says that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then this episode gets some surprising and new and different delivery and attitude from 3PO. This might be like one of my favorite 3PO stories, 3PO moments. He's got that great moment that you're talking about. I think that was actually quite clever. And he's got that great moment with Jar Jar of when he's on the magnet of like, oh, Jar Jar is dead.
Right.
But my single favorite bit of comedy in this entire episode and one of my favorite 3PO bits of comedy is this kind of rapid fire, real rhythm of vaudeville comedy going all the way through to, you know, kind of modern sketch comedy, pitter patter delivery back and forth between 3PO and Padme about Jar Jar. So part of the comedy is, again, the characters truly recognizing in the story that Jar Jar is a force of destruction, even if he means well. And when 3PO is catching Padme up on everything that's gone wrong for them, and 3PO says, ship's been destroyed. And and Padme says, battle droids? And 3PO says, no. It's amazing delivery, and that kind of, I don't know, just especially this earlier era of Clone Wars, a little bit more subtlety in the comedy where, like, you know, I've always said a lot when I write or direct a comedy, particularly with live theater, like, my favorite lines are always the ones that if you just read them on a page, you'd have no idea why they're funny. It's about the delivery and the shared meaning and the no, and just that delivery of no meaning Jar Jar. So she immediately goes, Jar Jar, and he goes, Jar Jar. Very, very great, like, comedy pitter patter delivery and all wrestling with that reality of, like, we both know he's a force of terrible destruction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He is death. Yeah. Yeah, he's death.
Yeah, just talking about the dynamics and structure of comedy. I love hearing you talk about it. I love discussing it, and it works. And look, I'll say, I don't know that, you know, you never really know what lines, how it's broken up with the writers, but to bring up Rubio again, like, yeah, Tag and Bink has a lot of some big slapsticky stuff, but it's got some real good comedy in there in the writing. So I can see where some of that pops in, but again, it all to me, it's the read on Daniels that makes it or breaks it. And he's just on point as always.
Yeah. And that reading of No is just inspired. It's a level of emotion in a kind of a feel of emotion that we don't always get from 3PO, but makes perfect sense for his character. Like, I don't know. This is just like, you get the sense often that 3PO, we hear him sort of complaining or being afraid, or every once in a while kind of mumbling a little aside of, well, I think that's dumb. But this is like totally like, this is something that tipped into 3PO being kind of like a judgmental gossip. Like, if he felt he was perfectly safe, everything was taken care of, that you could just sit him down and he could just kind of tell you every dumb thing that Chewbacca ever did. Like, it has that vibe to it, and I just love it.
Yeah, it works. It works. I'm thinking a lot of the Rise of Skywalker moments that work for me, come from this kind of style to me. I don't know. Yeah. Love it. Good job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other comedy moments for you?
Yeah, there was, it's just a line. I don't know why. I just giggle every time Jar Jar says threeso. Hang on, threeso. I don't know why. It's just stupid. I like it. And there was a line, yes, Yusa. Love that there. But I love, there's a great beat, two moments I want to talk about, but there's a great beat where Jar Jar's like, I'm not a Jedi, and they smash cut to Newt going, kill the Jedi. And I just love that. There's a good smash cut joke works for me as well. And that one it worked on a big thematic level, what you were talking about. Jar Jar's not saying, let me pretend to be a Jedi. He just wants to go under disguise to help his friends. And the fact that Newt and others would be so fearful of a Jedi, but want to destroy a Jedi, that they can't see the truth in front of them. All that's at play. Jokes go deep when you want them to. And this beat was hilarious, but also just tied into the themes. And I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love that. You're right. The smash cut makes it really funny to go from this absolute bumbling possible menace to himself with a pure heart and the utter fear of Newt Gunray. Kill him now. It's extremely funny. Go for it.
No, the final one for me, and I don't know, maybe I'm stepping on it for you too, but just, talking about George is going, oh, okay, you had some problems with the prequels. Let Dave, team, shove this down their faces. It might be now one of my favorite moments, the Roger moment. Roger. It was almost Police Squad, Naked Gun stuff. Loved it.
Yeah, no, that was my other big comedy beat that I loved. I also like Jar Jar saying, like, Misa, okay. It's kind of an old joke, but I like that one. But the Roger Rogers was like, it has great comedy rhythm and it's just sort of silly and fun. But for me, there's also like this slightly darker, slightly real edge there. We've been talking a lot about, there's a lot of wacky battle droid comedy, but some of it does come from this place that's a little bit more like, it darkly reminds you that they are sentient beings who've just been mass produced for war and are constantly in horrible peril, like I just got promoted, those kind of jokes. And this one had a flavor of that too, of like, if that is, they're all the same, that's the thing they're all supposed to say when they agree to something, and there's something just sort of like frighteningly off-putting and sad about them all just saying affirmative in their own way, like they're compelled to say it.
There's no life in this moment, but it shows an entire life that they can't live. They have no choice but to be.
It's delightfully funny and kind of frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great comedy. Great whimsy. Let's move on to other connections to Star Wars canon or lore or other stories. What jumped out at you?
There's some fun playing around. I don't think directly plays around with it, I'll say, but just some fun playing around with Jar Jar the Sith, of just, does he bumbles his way into darkness? I don't know. I thought about that often.
Of
Jar Jar, what's working below? Is he, is this evidence that he was a Sith? And obviously that none of that's true, but there's some connection there. We talked about Jar Jar's spirit to help is something he learned in Phantom Menace. Because remember, you know, when you meet him, he might not be super, super willing to help, but he flips his, thoughts on that pretty quick. But, and it just becomes part of his life. And this kind of stuff ties directly to the epilogue of Jar Jar Binks in the Aftermath books. So the Jar Jar got some Padme stuff, but that's my Jar Jar thoughts of what it connects to.
Yeah, no, I agree. What are your Padme thoughts?
Peaceful negotiations and aggressive negotiations. Padme's definitely got that down. She definitely got that down, and she's learned it now. And again, I enjoy that we can still see Padme as an action star when it happens. You know, that's part of what her character is. Even going back to Phantom Menace, it's one of my favorite things about the character in the Phantom Menace of. A 14-year-old queen willing to go back and die for her people and defend her people and be in the middle of it. I think that's, I've always loved that. And so that's there. And she has the ability to do both, you know, she knows when it's peaceful negotiations aren't going to work. So I like that there. And that's going back to what I was talking about, stuff with Farr and it's her political journey towards the truth and her truth and how she wants to help the galaxy. Now she wants to live in it that we never got to see go to, fruition there. But I think this is one of the key episodes. You said you went back and studied it when we were talking about other Padme stuff. And I haven't seen this episode for 7 years and like, gosh, yeah. Cause I just did, this just didn't, the Bombad Jedi-ness of it all was what grabbed me versus, not remembering that this stuff was in it. And I think it's key Padme little sprinkles of realizations that factor into stuff later.
Yeah, no, I love everything you're saying. And I think this is an episode that even though, you know, Bombad Jedi, that's the title, that's sort of in some ways the philosophical journey is Padme's. And, you know, the Clone Wars and Star Wars in general has a ton of flawed heroes. I love Obi-Wan, but he made many mistakes. Anakin, you know, he made a couple mistakes that, you know, form the first six movies, that kind of thing. Padme absolutely does, you know, obviously she runs into some problems. There's some great gray areas to discuss, like, you know, how and why did she, what was her culpability in some of these mistakes? Mm-hmm. But by and large, big picture, I feel like Padme is almost always sort of correct from... Mm-hmm. If you just sort of analyze what's going on in the episode. And also, I think if you my opinion is that the perspective that Lucas and Filoni are trying to get across, it's almost always Padme who is carrying that philosophical perspective. Like we were talking about the whole story of the Clone Wars, of that starting with, yep, the Republic actually does have some flaws. And Padme, this happens with Bail too, but Padme in particular, just always wanting to own that, right? Mm-hmm. And because she's the one who's willing to go, hey, yeah, the Republic is failing and I'm okay to admit that and I want to have some diplomacy and I want to talk to the other side and ask them what they need and see if we can possibly meet halfway. And then you said it so well of, peaceful diplomacy and then aggressive diplomacy. And then she's got that side where... And after I try that, if you're just disingenuous and you want to kill me or, you know, take over a planet, I'll shoot you too if I absolutely have to. But first, let's really, really start with diplomacy. Right. And that keeps putting a wrench in Palpatine's plans because he needs people to not be optimistic. He needs people not to reach across the aisle and understand one another. And Padme keeps trying to reach across various aisles and understand people. And I love that that's where it starts, where she's really choosing. I'm going to go way out in the outer rim because my friend asked, I know it's dangerous, but as she says, I put my faith in diplomacy. We can't solve all of our problems by throwing troops at them.
Right.
Like if Padme can get enough people in the galaxy to listen to that sentence and believe that sentence, then Sidious's plan falls apart because his plan is based on people giving in to fear and anger. Right. And I love that Padme is just kind of philosophically correct. She is politically correct. She rescues herself. And she even, by the end of the episode, is able to admit, like, I can see how I've been a part of this. I just try to keep Jar Jar on the ship. I have been a part of saying, oh, it's fine. We're going to get those food supplies to Rodia eventually. So, it's fine, and like admits her own faults, which is, you know, I think another thing that makes her a hero, to show that that ability at growth. And then the other little Padme moment that really jumped out at me for kind of larger canon and story is once she figures out everything that's going on, her stated motivation is to arrest Newt Gunray. After she knows he's been tried because in the Supreme Court four times, because C.O. Bibble told us very clearly that she wants to arrest him. Yeah. And that is like that kind of higher calling, noble, in such a great contrast to this other bit of canon I like that we were talking about, of Newt Gunray's just continued vengeance against Padme, that he is mad at her for not letting him invade Naboo. He was tried four times and he was never punished. He entirely got away with it. And he's still like, every day, I want to eat for breakfast, eat for lunch, eat for dinner, dream at night. Padme needs to die because she said no to me once when I tried to take her planet. In the contrast between Newt Gunray, who's appears every waking thought is kill Padme. Mm. And there's no revenge. There's no, he wants me to die, so he has to die. She says, arrest him. Maybe the fifth time will be the charm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still good.
Yeah. So yeah. I really liked everything about Padme's perspective. Yep. And I like that really clear contrast between her and Newt Gunray.
Yeah. And to some of your bigger stuff here too, just, you know, you and I talk often of her kind of being the true rival and problem for Palpatine all the time and during this era, and why she was an important part of his plan was to see, she dangled her safety is what he dangles over Anakin, her survival over Anakin, and what he needs to do to her. But all those times that he just got, Padme again, she gotten there, Padme. And that to me holds up the idea that you're saying, if she is kind of the moral center, the moral compass.
Yeah.
Story. And the only one on the opposite end of Palpatine, again, everyone's fighting Palpatine. Obi-Wan's great. Yoda's great. All this stuff. But you know what I mean? There's the two sides. There's the two towers kind of looking across each other, except for they're not in league like the second movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And she has a flexibility that the Jedi sometimes don't have. So she's a real contrast to them as well in this whole era. And she wins this round with Palpatine, because Palpatine's like, oh, you're right. The Senate is sending supplies right away. Yep. And like, I'm sure Palpatine would rather that Rodia joined the Separatists, or that, you know, there is some more conflict instead of, you know, hey, an ally is happy again kind of thing. It's not great for him.
Yeah, that's a great point too. This debate that, you know, it's not a debate that I recall us getting into anywhere, but like, I always go to that Phantom Menace moment, and I do think for a second Padme defeats him, though I understand he is the Phantom Menace who has foreseen a lot of stuff, but it's never step by step as he goes. So he might have targeted Jar Jar in the movies to give him the vote. But here, yeah, you're right. I thought that too. Sheev Palpatine, not Emperor Palpatine, but Sheev Palpatine at the end can't be like, oh, this is exactly like I want it.
Right.
So it's a win for Padme for me. It is a win, and she is the rival.
Yeah, yeah. And a brief problem that Newt Gunray is successfully arrested for now. Tune into next episode. The other bit of canon for me that I was just a little fun thing, but also kind of opened some interesting doors, was Jar Jar in 3PO going on the smashed Naboo ship and finding this accidentally, Jar Jar just says, this button still works. Yeah. And opens the closet door, finds Anakin's Jedi robe, and Anakin's like, or not Anakin, but Jar Jar is like, who does it belong to? And 3PO says, I wouldn't know, making it clear that he does know, and he's lying. How did that affect you?
Let's get it on. Ooh, come on, sugar. Yeah, loved it. I loved it. I love that 3PO, who is memory over race, can't remember things. We know what happens at the end of Revenge of the Sith. R2 is the one with the knowledge, but I love in this moment, I love that 3PO is like, that's a Jedi robe? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I love it. It's another bit of nuanced, great delivery from Anthony Daniels, which is totally in line with who 3PO is, but really lets the audience know, like, oh, no, 3PO totally, fully knows and understands this relationship between Anakin and Padme and is covering for it, you know? And, I mean, I love that you did the the beautiful song, because I pictured in my mind that, like, the moment where, you know, I mean, I know he was at the wedding, obviously, so he knows that. Yeah. But just that this is like this ongoing thing and that he's covering for it, and just the uncomfortable moments where Anakin comes over to the apartment and 3PO's just sitting alone in the living room.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, again, yeah, and of course 3PO knows, but just to play upon it, yeah, it's I don't know. Those secret relationships, kids, are never as secret as you think. Trust me. Yeah. But yeah, yeah. And I love, is this like, so this is like Anakin's backup robe. I love it. At some point he was like, well, what if I just leave a robe here?
Yeah. Yeah. Just in case. Yeah. I mean, he's leaves too many different things around Padme, a cloak, a lightsaber. Lots of stories in the Clone Wars are motivated by Anakin leaving something lying around. But yeah, I just love that. That sense of duplicity. I was watching on reading on social media a good back and forth about kind of a classic question at this point of in A New Hope, when 3PO Luke asks who Leia is, and 3PO is like, I'm not sure, a person of some importance on her last trip. And obviously from modern canon, 3PO is well aware of who Leia is. Yeah. So that great discussion of like, is he keeping that from Luke, you know, and a little while later he tells R2 to trust Luke because Luke's their new master. But this line almost feels like, yeah, no, 3PO being a master of communication who sometimes doesn't get the subtleties of human interaction.
Yeah.
There's some things that he does get and some things he's willing to cover for.
Yeah. And knocking Jedi boots is it, apparently. Good job, 3SO. Good job, 3SO.
Good job, 3SO. Yep. There's a bit of human interaction that 3PO truly deeply understands. Yeah. Was there anything in this episode that you disliked or questioned?
No, I mean, look, I love Jar Jar. I'm in a real positive place on Jar Jar. It's still, you know, it is what it is. And it's not for me, all the beats, even though I can dig into the deep themes. So, you know, I still would say, even after this, I don't immediately run back to rewatch Jar Jar episodes, right? I just got to be honest with that. But I just still love what Jar Jar represents. And the storytelling that can be done with Jar Jar Binks is something, you know, I'm open to more of it. You know, that's why that Wendig thing, I just absolutely still, I mention it all the time because I loved it. I loved seeing it and I loved turning the page and going, oh my God, is Wendig taking us to Jar Jar? And that really worked and affected me. So I always want to remain open to it. But these aren't my favorite moments, you know, the beep bop, you know, Jar Jar making a sound to a slug. Not my favorite, but it's all right. It's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I love the ideas. I love some specific beats of comedy. But yeah, some of them are really straightforward and, you know, might have a different effect if you see them at a certain point in your life. But sometimes like, yeah, I can't wait to get back to this moment or this joke that I find more meaningful in between this bit of tripping and thrashing.
Yeah.
Totally understandable. I'm now just kind of obsessed with watching how deep we get into the first season of Clone Wars before there's an episode that doesn't have a bad feeling about this. Because 3PO's got I have a very bad feeling about this, which I actually kind of like because I think 3PO himself probably says this like 7 times a day.
Yeah.
Like, I think when Anakin comes over and says, hi, 3PO, and then just goes, he and Padme go straight into the bedroom and 3PO's alone on a couch. I think he says, I have a very bad feeling about this.
Totally.
Nothing else that I disliked or questioned. This episode has so much going for it. Anything else that we haven't talked about that you wanted to touch on in this episode?
No. I wanted to make sure we talked about that robe, and we did, sir. We did.
Yeah, we talked about that robe. The only other thing I wanted to touch on, you already brought up, but I like, especially the back half of this episode, I like the Jedi of it. Obviously, there's just the actual plot mechanics of Jar Jar wanting to disguise himself, being confused for a Jedi. But then that line at the end with Anakin Dafar about, you know, bravest or most foolish, in it, in kind of this idea of what, you know, is a Jedi brave or is a Jedi foolish? But more than anything, what you're talking about with Nute Gunray, that they're just the concept of a Jedi that we, the audience, know isn't there. The threat, the shadow, the idea of a Jedi causes an endless amount of terror and hope, right? Because there's even a line about like, if the Jedi, Padme uses the Jedi to escape. Another character says, if there's a Jedi here, they might be our only hope. And Nute Gunray is, you know, just chasing his own tail and screaming, kill it, and just like so motivated by the fear of a Jedi, and everyone else is inspired the hope that a Jedi is there. And it's a really interesting idea to take the actual actions of a Jedi away, the actual power, and just look at a Jedi as an idea, and how the idea of a Jedi changes people's behavior. And in a weird way, watching this, watching, you know, people in dire situations get hope from just the idea of a Jedi, and watching, you know, angry, greedy, bad people just run around in circles in their fear of a Jedi, I'm suddenly relating the season one Clone Wars episode Bombad Jedi to like a lot of the ideas in the sequel trilogy and Last Jedi in particular, you know, that so much of that is about, you know, Snoke as Palpatine's puppet being like, I just can't do anything until the Jedi are gone, because if they're still here, people are going to have hope. And it's all about the hope and the fear of this shadow of a Jedi. And I get this connection between Luke hiding on an island going, I don't want to do anything. I'm not even connected to the Force. I'm not even here. And Jar Jar bumbling around in Padme's secret husband's robe. But it's kind of the same impact of just the idea of a Jedi inspires hope and fear, and it changes things.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. A Jedi, the name alone, what it brings. And focusing on the hope it brings, but also the tension.
Yeah, the hope and the terror of the Bombad Jedi. We're going to wrap up, as we always do, with some action figure talk. If you could have a figure of any character from this episode, who do you want?
Well, you know, we already got the Bombad Jedi Jar Jar figure available, right?
Yes, so, we do. It's a real thing.
It is a real thing. What is the slug creature's name again?
Oh boy, it is Bogey, the Quazzelma.
Quazzelma. Yeah. I want one of those. Life to scale, little soft, little squishy gel-like figure.
Oh yeah.
With spit out Jar Jar action.
You squeeze it and Jar Jar comes flying out.
Yep. Give me that.
Oh, wow. You know, in the era of the Phantom Menace, they would have made that toy for sure. Lots of Jar Jar projectile toys. Yeah, I mean, for me, I just can't get past the actual Jedi Jar Jar action figure, which is real. So I might go look at how expensive it is after we're done with this recording. Next up, we're going to talk about Cloak of Darkness, Season 1, Episode 9. It does continue the story of Newt Gunray, but I thought the episodes were different enough that they deserve to be separated out and not just treated as the Gunray arc. But we will be diving into the story of Cloak of Darkness next week. Ken, to close us out, what should the moral of this episode of our podcast be?
I think the moral of the podcast should be, when a robe emerges, it is time to wear it.
It is a hero's time whenever they see a robe to put it on. I'm going to embrace that the next time I can go to Bed Bath & Beyond and see what the employees think of me embracing that moral. If you see a robe, embrace your destiny. Ken, do you want to tell people where they can find Force Center?
I sure do. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Force Center. Join that conversation there. We're on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube as well. Yeah, we've been putting up the audio versions right now. I know a lot of people want to see our faces. We're not always camera face showing ready early in the morning.
No.
Go to YouTube, subscribe over there, and don't hit that bell. Don't miss those notifications, all those good things. You can get us podcast-wise on Anchor, iHeartMedia, more places soon. I know, in case anyone starts asking, Amazon Music is now doing podcasts, and we have submitted for that. We're trying to figure out that process, so stay tuned for that. Just search, and if we're not on a spot, let us know. We'll try to get there. You can buy merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter, and you can support us at patreon.com/ForceCenter and help us reach goals and grow the podcast and keep the lights on. And as always, I say the best way to support, also just tell a friend about Force Center. You can also follow us at catnapsock.com. Big fun announcement hopefully soon on there on an event coming up. I'll let you all know about, but go there for updated information, and you can follow me at Ken Knapsack. Joseph.
Yeah, you can follow me Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for links to my podcast, Obsessed Comedy Albums, and a link to the show that I write for on Adult Swim, Tigtone Weird Fantasy Comedy Show. If you want to check it out, you can find it by Googling Tigtone, or you can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com. For now, that is it for myself, for Ken, for the Bombad Jedi himself. This has been the Clone Wars Report.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.